almost, I almost can say good afternoon. Thank you so much, Professor. It was inspiration to have you with us and your family. We are very, very important that you are here to support them too. To all those that are visiting us today, today we're celebrating God's wonderful gift. Today we're celebrating communion. So what do we supposed to remember? Today's message is entitled, let me put this close here because I believe you need this, right? Is that okay to move it here? Wait. So the title is Remember Me. How many times you have said this yourself to somebody from a friend, a family, or a place where you used to live? Is there anybody here who says, would you please forget me? Unless the person is very difficult in your life and is causing you a lot of headaches, you want to be remembered, right? We all like to be remembered. If we go around the world, you'll be amazed. There are memorials and monuments everywhere, every single corner of the world. There are billions of them, billions. Statues, people sometimes in the stadium. If somebody was great in the sport, they have a statue there. If you go to Miami, in a Dolphins stadium over there, you have a Marino statue over there, and Shula. And you go to another place, there is a statue everywhere. There are buildings named after people, and there are buildings that were built only with a purpose to be to remind someone of a great event in the past. We went last August. A young man was proposing to my youngest daughter. So they asked us to go there to witness the proposal. And the parents took us to around all Washington, D.C. Every corner there is a monument about something. And so we went and we saw many of them. Parks, graves. If you see anybody here ever visit a Catholic cemetery. Catholic cemeteries, they really make big monuments, you know. It's not like a typical cemetery where you have just a stone, or usually they sometimes build like almost a little small mansion there. And so they create this. In many places, they leave a picture of the person and something said about that individual. It's very common. Books, there are people that have wrote books about their lives because they want to be remembered. They don't want the next generation to forget who they were. So they write books. Products. How many times we buy things with somebody else's picture because it's been dedicated to somebody, or an invention that has been named after somebody. It's always a way for us to say, remember me. Cities. We have cities that have received names of individuals that they were soldiers, did something wonderful that the city has given this honor to name them. And sadly, sometimes a city is named after an individual, and then come along another individual that has done something else greater, and they change. I have seen that also in streets. Sometimes a street is named after one individual, and later on, named after somebody else. We have seen in the past few years a very angry group of people going around destroying images because they said this represents an ugly past. You do not replace ugly past with a very present anger. A bad does not erase bad. If you want to erase something that is bad, do something good. That is the best opportunity for you to defeat what is bad. We should not be so much concern about what we have done in the past. We have to be concerned about not repeating in the future. Because sometimes that's what happens. Memorials are there to remind us that we don't want to relive the past if it's bad, but we want to duplicate the past in the future if it is good. That's the purpose of a monument, a memorial. Names. All of us here got a name from our parents. It's a way for us to say, basically, remember me, is by keeping the name. In the Bible, talks about Absalom. He said that he did not have a son in order to pass on his name to the future. And he was afraid that he was going to be forgotten because his name was no longer be used. So he erected a monument and said, everybody who passed by here, they will remember Absalom. And today we do remember him for the bad deeds that he did, not for the good ones. There are, like I said, billions and billions of monuments all over the world. A cry to the next generation. And the cry is, remember me. All of us want to be remembered. I have something surprised for you here, that somebody in the past, in the Bible, also made this request for us. We all know what RE stands for. In many words that we use in English and many other languages, we have the RE before a word. It means again. Do it again. Okay? So now, if you see the word remember, what do you think that it means? Let me be part of. A member. Let me be part of. Every time you remember, you ask somebody to remember, it says, bring me as part of you. Bring me back. Make sure that I am part of the team. So when you see the word remember, think about this. I remember your name in the night, O Lord. And I keep your law. That's Psalms 119, verse 55, New King James says, I remember your name. Every single time that we use well the name that we inherit from our parents, we remind people this is a good name because of the things that you have done. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth and all that has been created around us. And that's why we remember, we are called to remember him as our creator. Now, what it means remember, if you say, I want to be part with. If we recognize that God is our creator, we are part of the creation. We become a member of his creation. Now, remember your creator. Who said this? Oh, God. In Ecclesiastes, he says, remember your creator when you should remember him. While you're still young, when your mind is fresh, you have all the energy, dedicate your life when you're young. Remember your creator. Who is the creator? It's Abba. Before those miserable days comes when you feel like, oh, I have to take a pill for this, I have to take a pill for that, and I have to take a pill for this. And then you have a jar of pills in it, and pills and pains. Then you say, I don't enjoy life that much anymore. It's excruciating. So the warning for you young ones, it is wonderful to have energy. You have energy for a lot of things. Be wise, remember your creator in these days because your future relies on what you do with your youth. Those are the days that you should remember. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, Good News Translation. Now, remember me. Who is saying remember me? Jesus Christ said a few times, remember me. I'll tell you how. Remember the Sabbath day. Why did I put me right in between the Sabbath? Because every single time we come to church on Sabbath, every time we remember about the Sabbath, we are remembering the me of the Sabbath. And who is the me of the Sabbath? Of course, you know. So it is God saying, remember me. We sometimes, as Seventh-day Adventists, we emphasize so much the period of 24 hours, which is proper, which is what the Bible teaches. But we don't realize that it's actually God is talking about, remember your Creator. Because once that you know who your Creator is, you find out who you are. Amen. It's by the only way I know who I am is by who created me. So I need to know where I came from. And when I know that I was created by a loving God, I have the inspiration to be loving kind as well. To keep it holy. Why it's holy? Because if He is in, holiness is in. If He is not, then there's not. Exodus 20, verse 8. So next time you see this commandment, you see, remember the God who created. Remember Abba who created you. Therefore, that's why the Sabbath is holy. And so every single time that we look into the commandment is God saying, please remember me. Because if you remember me, then you know who you are. Now, why the word remember? When first the Sabbath was established, human beings were perfect. They did not forget. They did not have the ability to forget anything. They were perfect. So they did not, in the beginning, the way the commandment was established, there was not the word remember, because they were not able to forget. But when sin came in, then God says, I want for you to bring me back again to what I belong. I belong as your Creator. I want to be part of you. Every single week, we are reminded of this. Remember me? Jesus Christ. This is the text that you find in your scriptures. It says, Jesus Christ is the same. When? Yesterday. When? Today. When? Forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. But remember, it says, remember Abba. Can you read with me? Remember, Abba is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that what it says? Also, remember, the Sabbath is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So please understand that that's what it is. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. None. Isaiah 46, verse 9, New King James. Now, at the cross, there were three individuals there. And I'm talking about being crucified. In the first few hours, those two, besides Jesus Christ, they were repeating what all the people are saying. You know, the religious, so-called religious people that were there because they want Christ to be killed. And they were saying, yeah, come down from the cross. Prove that you are really the Christ that you said you are. You were. And those two repeat the same thing. They were after Jesus Christ. Yeah, yes, why don't you come down and take us down from here? But after a while, seeing, contemplating Jesus Christ, one of them kept looking at the crowd. And one of them decided to look at Jesus Christ. That one on the right, he said to Jesus, remember me. He said, remember me when you come as king. Basically what he was saying, he says, please take me as a member of your family. When you come as a king, I want to be part, remember, I want to be a member of your family, your eternal family. Please remember me. And Jesus Christ says to him, remember what he says? I tell you today, I'll tell you today, come, you will be with me in paradise. You are part of me. I do remember. I do take you back with me. You be with me. I will forgive their sins. And I will no longer remember their wrongs. Amen. Amen to that, right? Amen. Can you imagine what will happen to us, all of us, every human being that already had the opportunity to grow and make wrong choices, if there will be no grace, no forgiveness? Please, don't misunderstand what the Bible teaches when it says God is a God of grace. When God gives you forgiveness, it's not so that you can go and do the same thing over and over again. Grace is given to motivate you to stop sinning, not to enable you as a good sinner. Okay, so please, don't mistake God's grace. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. You cannot have any other way. If you want to find a path to life, you have to go through Jesus Christ. Because he said clearly, no one comes to the Father except through me. I was a member of the Roman Catholic Church because my aunt took me there. And as a child, if a parent takes you to some place, you learn, you think that's the only thing to, and so I did. And there was a lot of statues that I was told to pray for them. Very early on my own, I realized that those statues, they cannot hear me. Why am I talking to those things? So I decided to stop praying for them. But I kept praying Hail Mary, all those stuff, because that's what I thought was the right thing. God knew my heart. Even though I was doing the wrong thing, he knew my heart. And I know that God also, for every single individual out there that is not knowing exactly how to approach Christ and know that Christ is the only thing that we need in order to go to the kingdom, they're asked to appeal to many saints. There is only one between us and God, is that Jesus Christ, John 14, verse 6. Now, also this verse, for there is only one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. I was talking to a priest one time, and he was talking about the merits of Mary and everything else. So I opened this, and he said, oh, you Protestants. But that's if you rely on the Bible only, that's what the Bible very clearly says. And the Bible goes on by saying there is only one faith. There is only one God. You know, there is nothing else. There is only one faith. And this is it, is according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ says, this is my body, which I am giving for you. Do this for what? Remember. To remember me. The rest that we receive in creation, it is the same rest that we receive at this table, which is a promise of eternal redemption. The Creator is also the Redeemer. It is the same Abba that with his own hands created us, shaped us into his image. Is the same Creator now with his hands that shaped us into his image again. And he keeps saying, remember me. That's exactly what we're doing. We are celebrating the fact that we have not forgot all the things that the Lord has done for us. We are here to celebrate the fact that we need to remind ourselves who we are and what we have received. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Not a fermented blood, not a contaminated blood, but it's the pure grape juice. Right there in the mother's room, a few years back, I mentioned this to you before, so forgive me for repeating. A minister came asking if he could rent this church for his. So I told that no cigarettes, no drugs, or nothing illegal was allowed. If he would be going on and rent our facilities, those who were not be allowed. We would not tell you how to worship and everything else, but there are a few things that we're not allowed in our building. And he says, oh, but what about communion? And I said, what about communion? Oh, because we drink the juice with the spirits, you know, with the alcohol, you know. And I said, but you drink just a tiny little bit of this? No, he said, we drink a little bit more. And then I said, why do you have the bread that is not fermented? And then the wine is fermented, because the body, the bread is the symbol of the body of Christ. And then the wine is a symbol of the blood of Christ. Why one is fermented, another? Huh, I have never thought about. And this pastor was pastor for more than 30 years. Sometimes we get ourselves in the habit of doing things without asking, why am I doing this? And that's the risk for us as a Seventh-day Adventist too. We can participate in the communion without knowing the meaning of it. So that's why we're taking the time to let you know that this is a celebration for us to remember who made it possible for us to be what we are today, children of God. Thank God for his gift that words cannot describe. I like the, this is a common English Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Paul says, thanks God for this, his gift. Words cannot describe. That's why the Bible in John says clearly, God so loved the world. And when he says so loved, it means there's no way I can even describe. How can that be possible? And he comes and gives this gift to us. So in remembrance of me is what it says in the table. Do this so you remember me. What I have done for you and how much you mean for me. Communion. Many people think that communion is just a piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. Communion has three aspects. One reminds me of my baptism. Another one reminds me the body that was broken on my behalf. And the blood, which is a symbol of life. That's the aspect. Christ's invitation, we find this in the Bible. I talked to one time a minister also that did not have foot washing. And he says, oh, that's not biblical. I said, let's go sit down. And we opened the Bible and he read. And after he read the next communion that we had there in a Calipatra prison, he was part of it and he invited everybody to participate. We had a beautiful foot washing for the first time in his life. He didn't realize. When he had finished washing their feet, that's mean he, Jesus Christ, and he put on his clothes and returned to his place. By the way, for those that are visiting us, and you notice in the PowerPoint, I capitalize and I put a different color every time I'm referring to Abba or a Heavenly Father, so that we see the clear distinction. And for me, is a sign of respect for the God that I worship. Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand that? He asked them. And then they said, of course, you call me teacher and Lord, right so, because that's where I am. But then he continues. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have come down from heaven as God Almighty, and I put myself in a condition of a servant, just to show you what we must do to each other, for each other. Have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. He didn't say you could, you might, he should. That's what he said. I have set you an example that you may do if it's convenient. If you are convinced, brothers and sisters, there is no way around. That's exactly what it says. I'm not going to go any further on this. It's there. You should do as I have done for you. By the way, if one time any time in your life you think that it's inconvenient to foot wash, I want you just to take a very small, where's the bulletin? Take the bulletin, look at the cover, and look at the cross, and see if that was convenient. Okay, next time you think that it's inconvenient to take off these fancy shoes that you have on that cost probably more than $40 or something, and when you see those socks that is very expensive that you have too, when you take those things off, give a look at the cross and see if there is any inconvenience that was done for you. And I'm not going to apologize for being a little tough, but because I want you to wake up, brothers and sisters. We have to stop being so self-centered. We have to start thinking about eternity. Amen. And it's about time for us to put our act together. And we need it to. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. See, if the master did this, why can I do? Nor it is messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you all do. You will be blessed if you do them. Or you may choose not to. It's up to you. It is open foot washing that we have. Today, I have to make an announcement for you. We like to thank the ladies that took the time to prepare the elements that we are going to be partaking. And it's all gluten-free, okay? And we will have the multipurpose room for the ladies. That's correct? And then to the classes, to the in the corner, what they call kindergarten class, that will be for the men. Right? And then the last class, it will be for the couples. And if anybody is going to be staying here in a sanctuary, I have only one small request to make. Please be aware that this is the Lord's house. It's not a meeting hall. So I do appreciate it very much, and God will be appreciated even more if you stay here. Take your Bible, read your Bible, if that's the choice that you make. But please, let's keep the reverence in this place. If you feel like to talk about something with someone, ask kindly the person, would you step on the hallway outside so that we can talk? But inside the sanctuary, we do appreciate very much if you keep reverence. A person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. Because the question is, should I participate or not? Peter says, no, Lord, this is not a... And this is what Jesus Christ says. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. This applies for baptism and applies for foot washing, which is a symbol of a renewal of your covenant of baptism. Now it is time. We will be... The deacons will instruct you where you can sit when we come back in, because we need to leave a room for the deacons to serve. So at this time, let's move to our places. And remember to pray with the person who you participate with, okay? And let's come back here after we have done this part.